Well, God is great. This will be a Christmas message.
Oh.
Why? Because it's Christmas. When I was in college, I remember something. Dr. Arbaugh, he was the dean of men. And I started studying psychology. And I knew right away, I don't believe in that. It's because of my background, whatever. But I knew right away, I don't believe that psychology stuff. So I went into his office, made an appointment, went into his office. And I forget how I started out, but he was the philosophy professor. He's the professor of philosophy, but he was also the dean of men. And so I said to him, I want to talk to you about something. So he said, close the door. Uh-oh. said, I don't believe in psychology. Now, that was a course. And I'd never had it in high school. I never understood what that was all about. But I could tell from the other students, psychology was like, it's something new. I didn't even know what it was. And then also sociology. I didn't know what that was either. But psychology was for the individual, and sociology is for the group. And so, not being a Christian, I wasn't a Christian, I realized, I took my first psychology course, and they said, Eve had three personalities, and I read it, and I came up with 17. And so I realized, this is not a science. This is not something you could repeat over and over again. There is no such thing as psychology. So that got me to thinking that education or civilization was not what I thought it was. And so it changed my mind that day, because he said, shut the door. Shut the door. And I went, uh-oh, I'm going to be booted out of school or something like that. Because you're complaining about a course or something. And he said, I agree with you. This is the dean of men. I agree with you. And so this dean of men, Arbaugh, he agreed with me. Huh. I said, well, I don't think it's, they just use graphs and they use charts. I don't believe in psychology. It's not a science at all, nor is sociology, but I didn't say that. But I was lumping them all together because they were new professors that came to teach these things. And I think, was Hombacher there? Or yeah, Hombacher was the new psychology peep. I never took it. It's like junk. And I never took it, but it's because of what the dean said to me, I agree with you. And so, wow. And then you should take my courses. Well, what do you teach? So he said, philosophy. Okay. So I everything he had, I just didn't care about what the rules were, because I was always a rebel. I didn't care what the rules were, so I'll attend to this guy's classes. And then there's another philosophy professor, Selms. He was from Russia, Latvia, actually. And I used to walk to Selms' house every day and go to school with him, because I was an A++ student. I wasn't just A. I wasn't just A+. I was plus, meaning I never made a mistake.
I'm trying to think when that was.
So was that when, back in your junior year? Because is that when you decided, I'm going to erase my mind, and I'm not going to put anything in it?
I don't know.
Early on.
Piggy's asking me a psychological question. Because I'm not subjective.
Yeah, thank you.
I've never been subjective. In other words, I just read things as they are. Whatever they say, I just read it objectively. In other words, what's it say? And so I had no curiosity about Christianity or anything else. I knew it was a Christian school. And I thought, what do you know about God? Nothing. Well, go there and you'll learn a little bit. And my parents were happy that I was taking, you know, courses that would teach me about Jesus or morals or something or other, because I was wild. And so they were quite happy, because he'll finally learn to be human or something like that. But I was left brain, right brain kind of thing. And in that moment, I thought I'd be an artist, because I have the ability. I can do it. I can paint anything, do anything, study anything, lithography, whatever. Whatever is artistic, I'll do that. But then I realized, as I talked to students, that artists are always poor, especially when they're alive, and they don't reach notoriety until they're dead. I thought, well, I'll change it into architect. And so I knew Frank Lloyd Wright, and I wrote to him, and I was invited to his school, by the way. That was Taosian West and Taosian East. One was in Wisconsin, and the other one was out in Arizona. And so I thought, to work with Frank Lloyd Wright, it'd be awesome, because ever since I was 3 years old, I began to draw, and I understood everything. I had no hesitation at foreshortening or perspective or whatever. I understood it right away. And I didn't need any teachers, and I never had any teachers. I didn't need them, because I knew everything. And I have a photographic memory, which means, you know, I just study pictures. So I have a memory of all pots from any culture and so on and so forth. And I just memorize them. And I used to go to the Art Institute to cost a dime, and I was short, so I put my dime up there, and I could ride the train all the way into Chicago. And they have a big Art Institute. It has 3 floors, basement, and 2 upper floors. And I studied everything there. I knew everything. I knew every painting, whatever. It just, as a little kid, just I memorized stuff. Knew what floor it's on, what, you know, where it is, what's in the basement. They had Cro-Magnon man and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just used to study it, not subjectively. I just studied it. I don't know why. I just studied it. And so I'm explaining psychology. And so when I went to college, they had psychology and sociology, and they're kind of new on the curriculum. Is kind of a new idea, Freud and all that kind of stuff. And I knew that's not science. Science is where you can repeat the experiment over and over again. You know, you get water boils at 212. You could do it again in China. You could do it again, you know. But I noticed there was a little variation. If you did it at the ocean side, it came off a little different. If you do it on the top of the mountain, it came off a little different. So I knew it doesn't always produce 212. It's relative. So I understood that. But when I went to Dean Arbaugh and I said to him, I don't believe in psychology. I don't believe in it. It's not a science. Close the door, he said. Uh-oh, I'm going to be booted out of school. And so because of all my stupid background, and it was stupid because I didn't know anything. I grew up poor. I grew up without any hope of ever getting out of the pit and so on and so forth. And I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. It just was whether I'll be a white-collar criminal or a blue-collar criminal. That was my only thought. Because all my family was mafia, and I didn't even know what mafia meant. I didn't even know what it meant. But my Uncle Duke, he was Irish mafia. Because he was the Duke. He's the one of the head guys, the Dons, the head guy. But I didn't know that. I just knew his name is Uncle Duke. But it wasn't that. It wasn't his name at all. But I never knew his name. And none of us kids ever knew his name. We just called him Uncle Duke. And so then my Uncle Tom and my Uncle Vic, on my birth father's name, they were in the Italian mafia down in Cicero or Cicero. And so that was part on my train ride down into Chicago. I could always see that. And that was, those people are bad. Those people are bad people. And it was one of those double-decker trains. This is just my life story. I'm just telling you my life story. And I realized these are where criminals are. And I don't know how. You learn that because after I drive my bicycle when I was 8. I drive my bicycle by the golf course, and I notice all the nice homes were mafia, which I didn't even know what that was. I just knew they're bad people. And my father worked for Jimmy Hoffa, and my birth father. And all of my grandfathers were in federal pen, all of them. So on both sides of the family. Anyway, so I grew up rough. I grew up without any sophistication at all. I didn't know anything. So I'm reading everything objectively, and I realize this is not a science. I mean, what little I learned, I always cheated on everything. I always lied about everything. I never, ever, ever studied anything. I don't ever remember reading a book. Never. I knew you had to study for tests, but I cheated and so on and so forth. So just pay some money or get some things right on my hand or whatever. So anyway, I was clever. I knew I had a clever mind, but I didn't know what to do with it, except nothing. I didn't know what to do with it. So when Dean Arbaugh said, close the door, and then he said, I agree with you. Wow, that changed my life right there. This guy was the dean of men at the college I was at, and he agreed with me, saying, it's not a science. This is not, psychology is nothing. Now, I want to preach on that today. Why? Because everybody is swallowing three frogs. Are you aware of that? It's in the Bible. Everybody today in school, this is why you're dumbed down today in school. Because it's all how you feel, how you think, how you want. Okay? So they do everything, gear everything toward education. So if you go to public school, you'll definitely get it. If you go to a church school, you might not get it. But most of it is totally psychological. So you have a psychological self. You have a will. So somewhere in you, there's a strong will. And you have a mind. We say it's up here, but wherever it is. And you have emotions. How many know that some people are emotional? And I always consider that kind of like, that's what truck drivers, they lean out the window, get out of my way. You know, that's the way they are, emotional. They get angry and mad, so on and so forth. And so then, after that, other people are intellectual. And I would definitely be in the emotional group because I was an artist. And I knew, I'm just going to grow up and be an artist, I guess. Until I learned that they don't make any money. And so then I decided, skip that. because I had to get out of the pit. But I knew I had natural gifts. And everything to me was color, texture, form. In other words, everything about me was superficial. I didn't believe in anything. I didn't believe in anything. I didn't understand anything. I was just an idiot. However, and I'm not ashamed of that, because then you have to learn if you're trying to get out of the pit. You're trying to get out of where you are. And so when I went to college, not only did I not take psychology, because I realized the professor said, Eve has three personalities. And I knew, I thought about it. She has 17. And so I figured that out, just because I don't know anything, and I just make stuff up. I have an imagination. I can make it up. And so on. And he punished me. He gave me a bad grade. So I went into the dean. That's what I wanted to talk to him about, is I don't believe in that. And he said, I agree with you. So he was the philosophy professor. And so I'm going to take philosophy from now on. Because he said, well, why don't you take my courses, philosophy? So, okay. So I had a degree in philosophy. And then the other professor was Selms. He was from Russia. He used to teach communism to Russians. But he was a Lutheran from Latvia. That was where his origin was. And so he was one of the most brilliant people in that whole part of the world. So I used to follow him every day, go to his house. He didn't have a refrigerator, because that's the way it is in Russia. I don't know if you know that. They don't have refrigerators. If they did, it was just this small. I mean, they can't afford it in that part of the world. And anyway, I'd go there and see the milk. He had a little towel over it or something like that. So that's how he kept it cool or whatever. Anyway, this is my story. This is my story. And so I don't believe in psychology. I agree with you. So I talked philosophy, and I always had double majors, even in high school. Double majors. In other words, whatever you were supposed to study, mathematics, art, whatever you studied, I liked to take them two at a time. And when I went to college, I did the same. And when I went to seminary, I did the same. And I always wanted two at a time. Because I wanted to have seven. I knew this Jesuit. He had 5 degrees. I wanted to have 7. In case he caught up, you know, I wanted to be ahead of him. And so anyway, that's how I became a brainless wonder. And but I knew my mind was clear. Because I had no psychology to me. Zero. Now, the three frogs that everyone learns from today are your will, your mind, your emotions. And so, by the way, I've read Freud, and I've read all those people, Rogers, all those people, Jung. And when I read, I always read not some book about, I always read the person themselves. So in studying, I was not only A+, I was A++. No mistakes. So I realized, you might have a good brain. Instead of using it to be a criminal, you might use it to advance yourself. But that didn't appeal to me, because I knew crime paid. Because I always did it. So I knew that's what I'll be. Dan, you never thought of that. And most people don't think of that. But the way I grew up, I did think about that. Yeah, that's the way, quickest. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Just get the thing you want, walk out without paying, and, you know, that's the shortest distance, you know, rather than stand in line. I never liked standing in line. I don't like driving behind people, and so on and so forth. And so, because I remember that from first grade or second grade or third grade, whenever I learned that. Shortest distance between two points, a straight line. So that dictated to me. Now, I want to preach today about psychology. Now, I'm going to say something ridiculous. I'm right, and I don't dare preach this anywhere else. I can preach it to you. Are you okay with wanting to know about the legalistic law of humanism, which is psychology? Did you know Adam and Eve did this, by the way? She looked at the tree and desired it. It said, she desired to eat of it because God said the word. It said the opposite. I forbid you to eat of that tree. That's a forbidden tree. Don't eat of that tree. But for some reason, she was curious and thought, well, it looks good. I wonder what it tastes like. It doesn't even look rotten. It looks like a good thing. How many know if you use your mind, you might get messed up? If you just use your mind. Because your mind thinks things that are may or may not be true. I don't think you like me. That kind of thing. You know, and so you're right, they don't. So, don't even worry about that. So since I was never psychological, I never fell for, and I never took any courses like that. You know, I don't want that. I want things that are true. And Peggy was referring to the fact that at some point in my life, and I don't remember when, I erased my mind. Tabula rasa. You erased your mind. And I said, since I'm so stupid and don't know anything, and here I am, you know, completely, people are, they're well advanced over me, but I'll catch up somehow. I'll catch up. Lying, cheating, stealing. I can catch up somehow. And so I erased my mind and I said to God, whom I didn't believe in, God, you know I don't believe in you. However, I've heard people say that you can do stuff. Tell me the truth about everything. Is this true? Is this false? Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this just? Is this unjust? You apparently know that stuff. And if you do, and I don't believe in you, but if you do, I want that truth. I want that truth. I want to know what is this and what's that. Is it a cow? Is it a horse? I want to know just logic. I want to know that. So that influenced me to study voraciously. I always took twice as many courses as anyone else took. I always, there's so many hours in the day, and so I just course. And if I couldn't take it, I audit it. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to learn whatever. And I'm going to be the Renaissance man. I'll be Leonardo da Vinci kind of thing, and so on and so forth. So, since with my mind, which was active all the time, but I realized I was raised psychologically, but I didn't know it. And I realized some people use their brain, some people use their mind, some people use their emotions. What's the difference? What is that? Okay, now I want to read you the scripture. Third chapter, Galatians. Now see if you catch on what I'm going to say. If you catch on, you'll go to heaven. That's what I'm just going to say, if you do it. Chapter 3. Who wants to read that? You'd read it.
What?
Yeah. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 1. Does anybody have it?
I got it.
You got it?
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
Stop right there.
Yep. That's it.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That was me. I didn't believe in God. He was totally irrelevant to my life. I'd never believed in God. What for? You can't even see him. He doesn't show up. Doesn't do anything as far as I'm concerned. So he's irrelevant to me. Totally irrelevant. So the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But how many know the fool is a fool? Because there is. But I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a God. I never went to church. Nobody ever took me there, and I didn't know about it. Till my third father, he took me there and forced us, you know, because I was 12 or something. And he said, you have to go to confirmation. I don't even know what that is. And it's 2 years. Oh, man, what about Flash Gordon? He's on every Saturday. And anyway, television had just invented, just was invented as I was growing up after World War II. And we had one, and it was this wide, 5 inches circle, and we had one. And we were the only people in our poverty-stricken neighborhood. We were the only ones that had one, and people would come over and watch it because it's just this little thing. We watched it. And they had Gorgeous George, who was a wrestler, and so on and so forth. So I loved all that kind of stuff because it was new instead of the radio. How many of you are over 80? We used to have on the radio, you'd listen to it. It was one of those radios that were shaped like this, and it was shaped in such a way, and you listened to it really close because Roosevelt was president, and he used to have chats and so on with the people and so on and so forth. But they had this one program called Inner Sanctum, the innermost sanctum, and it would start out, and the door would open, and you were going into the inner sanctum, and it scared you. So I love that program.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? Yeah, good. He's old. Okay. Yeah, I have a habit of sticking my hands in my pockets and so on and so forth. So I'd knock out the thing. Anyway, so now it's television. And they used to have all kinds of programs. I didn't like Lawrence Welk, but I like the other ones. Anyway, so I grew up completely ignorant because I was ignorant. You know, I didn't know anything about anything. And by the way, my third father, whom I called Adolf Hitler, my third father forced us not only to go to church, he would spank you with the belt. In other words, there's no discussion or talk. Did you take out the garbage today? I didn't. And if you got 3 demerits on your chart, he always had a chart in the pantry. If you got 3 demerits, you got spanked. And so I didn't mind lying to him, but I tried to talk my sister into doing everything. And my sister, she was 2 years younger and kind of looked up to me a little bit. And so I tried to get her, hey, if you do the dishes, because I'm going to get a spanking if I don't, if you do the dishes, I'll wash your part of the floor. You know, because every week you had to wash 1/3 of the house down because we had a 2-story house and so on and so forth. Anyway, that was one of the disciplines Adolf Hitler taught us. And when he came into the family, I was 7. And he liked my mom, so married her. And she had already been through one-night stand, George Fritz. He was gone. And they never knew. They never saw. It was just Thanksgiving, 1939, first time that Thanksgiving was not the third Thursday in the month. First time. Because the businessmen wanted to make more money between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So they extended it. And he just did it because businessmen wanted that. And so then I was born that night, and my mother just slept with this guy. She was 17. And she slept with this guy that day. And that's how I got born. I was conceived right then. So then you have to wait a period of time and so on and so forth. But meanwhile, it was a one-night stand. They never talked to each other. He came by the next day to talk to her, and my grandmother lied and said, she's in Virginia. She left yesterday. I was just with her. Yeah, she left. because my grandmother knew who the mafia was, and she knew, because she had been married four times, and the fourth one that she married, he lived out in the garage, and so on and so forth. So she just said she's gone, because she did not want to marry into a mafia family, even though her son, Uncle Duke, he was in Chicago Mafia. And my cousins are still part of it. My sister's kids and so on and so forth. Anyway, and they're nice people. Do you know what the mafia is? It's like a family. It's like a family. And they come from a certain part of the world. And they do things that the boss wants to do because they don't like laws and rules. And they break all the laws and rules and hope they don't get caught. But anyway, some of them are Christians. Did you know that? And some, Jati was one, and so on and so forth. So, and I knew him. I knew him as a kid because I used to ride my bicycles and look at their fine homes and Cadillacs and nice convertibles and stuff. I went, crime pays. As a little kid, just crime pays. Because look at that house. That's Scarface so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. We knew where all the stuff was. So I had this total pagan, heathen upbringing. And my mother worked all the time, so she went home. So no one was watching me all the time, so I just did what I wanted. Anyway, you all heard that story before. But this is funny. It says in here that the fool says in his heart, there's no God, Bible. Now it says here, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So psychology is witchcraft. I'm going to say that again, because you may not know this. It's the thing that makes you not grow as a Christian. Because you're going to use your will, your mind, your emotions. And that's called humanism. So the legal aspect of humanism is psychology. So if you're a humanist, then you're totally in love with this world, and you have man-made works. And most Christians today are lukewarm. That is, they're humanists. That is, they don't believe the Bible. They believe it, but they also believe in this world. They try to combine the two, right? Trying to be a Christian and also sin, and also justify the sin that they just did. Say, well, you know, I can't be against homosexuality because my daughter-in-law or my niece or something is one, and, you know, I love her, so. They kind of compromise all over the place, right? But I was fierce. Once I got something into my mind, I stopped it forever. I don't know, I was just like that. So if somebody said, chew your food, so I chew food, and like between, like, say, 8 times to about 100 times, depending on what it is. It's peanut butter, it'd probably be 100. Even a grape could get 65. And so I used to count and see how many chews it took and do it over and over again. So if you told me gum was bad, the end of gum. If you told me those drinks that you used to drink, you know, all those little kid drinks, and they're bad for you too. They make your teeth rot or something like that. You know, whatever they said, I believe that. And so because I didn't know anything about anything, I just followed the crowd. I did what the crowd does. But I knew I didn't want to be a crowd follower. I wanted to be the crowd leader. And in fact, if they had had a job called Antichrist or, you know, ruler of the world, I would want that job. I don't want to be second best. I want to be the top. How many know that that is a little poverty thought, is if you could ever be rich and smart, you could have everything. So that was stupid, of course, but I believe that. And so I have to get out of the pit I'm in. So this starts out saying, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? People are under witchcraft. They don't even know what it is. They think of witchcraft as, you know, Wizard of Oz stuff. The witch of the, you know, this side and that side and so on. No, but this is not good witches and bad witches. This is just witchcraft, which means you don't have a god. So, let's read on. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, Jesus is the truth, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, I totally today am a Christian. I mean, 100%. I'm not, there's no paganism in me. I still sin, but it's only for a second, for a minute. The Holy Spirit says, you know, I'm describing you as a Christian, and that's not. Wow. I immediately repent, immediately change my mind, immediately just go for the Bible. So I don't follow anything men say. I don't believe in men. I don't believe in men. I believe in God. So once he became my Savior, Lord, bridegroom, I was done with me. Jim, dead. Now, this is why psychology keeps you alive, because you're a victim. You're a victim. Now, if you're part of the Democratic left, you believe that psychology is a wonderful idol, it's a wonderful God to follow, and you believe everybody's a victim, and it's society that's wrong, or it's you, but you are innocent. You didn't know. It's how you were raised. It's how you were raised. And I was raised in absolute poverty. I mean, total poverty. And my father made about, this later when I was 12, $4,000 a year. But the neighbor just right behind us had a little house. Not ours, a big two-story farmhouse that they moved onto the property. But his little house, he made $60,000, 15 times what my father made. So I knew that. Like, how come that guy lives a little house, but he makes all this money? Because he went to college or whatever he did. And said, I want to go to college someday. But, of course, you have no money. So this guy in my church who worked for, he was the head of the electrical union. He said, do you want to go to college? No, but I don't have any money. I could arrange for that. I could make you an electrician. And you'd make three times what everyone else is making. And I remember at that time, that was when McDonald's was birthed. That was when things were making 99 cents per hour. Now they're trying to make it $15. You know, that's like, whoa, that's really big. And so you make $3.10 an hour just as a little guy. And what do I do? Well, you just sit in the warehouse. That's what labor reunions are all about. You just sit there. You don't do anything. Well, can I sweep the floor? No, don't do anything. Just sit in that chair. Guard the house. Don't let anyone here. When people come in the morning, fill up their tanks with gas. And don't steal from the men. Don't steal from the men. The men have tools. Don't take their tools. But you can take anything you want out of here. That's part of your... You're a victim, and this is how you rise up. So everything around the airport in the Chicago area, I built all of that, dug ditches and so on and so forth. So I loved it. I used to eat. I don't eat like this. I used to eat every day because it was physical labor. You had to dig these ditches and so on by hand. So. I was ducked, and now there's big poles with, you know, all kinds of fancy lights and so on and so forth, but I dug all those ditches, and I loved it. So I used to have a whole loaf of bread every day and make sandwiches out of it with peanut butter in the middle and then have a cookie or maybe an apple. And so every day I'd do the same thing. Oh, and I would drink a quart of milk every lunch. So... Anyway, I won't tell you about all the stupid stuff I did, but whatever I did, because I didn't believe in God, and I didn't have a God. I didn't want a God. I wanted to be fit in with the world. I wanted to be totally take care of myself. It's dog eat dog. Did you ever grow up with that idea? Dog eat dog. In other words, out there it's vicious, and people out there are ruthless, but you want to make sure you bite the other dog before he bites you. So that's the way I grew up. Dog eat dog. Everybody grew up that way? I mean, you have to face reality. Whatever reality is, that's the way it is. You can't change it. You just accept it. So, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, which is Jesus, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's what I want to talk about today, faith. I want to talk about the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Did you know it was preached to Abraham? He's the first one that got a hold of it. That God was not a commander. He didn't have 10 commandments. That's 430 years later. Before that, he was a promiser. And he promised Abraham. So he's the first one that got it. You don't work for God. God works for you. Huh, that was a new idea. And he made promises to him. I'll show you a land. I'll make your name great. I'll make a nation out of you. I'll do this. I'll do that. And I'll curse those that curse you. Bless those that bless you. And blah, blah, blah. And all the families of the earth, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, will be blessed because of you. Nobody else in the world had that promise. And he made a covenant that he had to keep. And the only thing with God was whether he can keep his promise or whether he disobeys it. I understood that. Because in the mafia, if you don't keep your promise, they kill you. They kill you. And if you say, I need a loan and I need a scholarship or whatever, and they provide it for you, then they say, oh, no strings attached and so on. But in a little while, they call you and say, hey, by the way, I want you to do such and such. Well, I can't do that. It's a crime. I want you to do it. Otherwise, you'll be dead. Now, in Fort Worth, I have a guy that's dead now. He killed 13 people, and some were here in Dallas, and so on and so forth. And he said, you know, he liked the way I talked, looked him straight in the eye, because he didn't know about my background. And I said, well, I'm actually worse than you, because you kill the people that deserve it. I don't care about deserving it or not. I just do what I'm told. Whatever I'm told, I just do it. I lie, cheat, and steal. Nobody has to tell me to do it. I just want to. I want to advance. I want to be successful, whatever that meant. And he said, "That's where you and I differ. You would do it, and I'd just rejoice with no conscience. But you did it because you justified it. They deserve that. Ah, I see. You have a moral reason for doing it because the person owed something and they didn't pay it, so then they're out. That's how the mafia works." The mafia always gets what it wants. In Russia, if I go to Russia, the mafia controls the whole government. You don't know about that, but any place you go in the Russian Empire, the mafia controls it. They live in mansions. Everybody else lives in Khrushchevkas. That is, there's 6 or 8 story buildings or 14 story buildings throughout all of, during Khrushchev's time, he built all of these things. Every house is exactly the same, because you're a communist. Has to be, everyone has the same door, same kitchen, same outlay, everywhere you go, whatever city you go. And so he built all these buildings, and today they are a shambles. Totally, they're a shambles. I won't describe them. They're horrible. But anyway, so you can go there, and if you got drunk one night, and came home, there's a movie on this, by the way. If you got drunk one night and came home, and it was another city that you didn't even live in, you'd go finding your house because you're drunk and you don't know which one it is. It looks exactly like yours. You just open the door. This is the door I have to go in because it's same outfit, same everything. Because everybody had to be the same. How many know that everyone, if you just change the outward, then the person would be happy? But nobody is happy in Russia except the leaders, the state, those that are military people or whatever. But if you get on a Krushkovka, you know, just a little car, if you go on one of those, everyone is grim. They just look down. They will not look up. And maybe they look at a newspaper or something. But if a baby got stomped on, no one would notice. No one would say anything. Mind your own business. Don't everything. So I would get on the mashrutkas and say, "Hi." You're not supposed to talk like that. Because there's probably 30 people in a van. These are just really short little vans, but they cram in as many as they can. And so it's crazy. How many know if you don't travel the world, you don't find out how it works? The truth. How is it really? People are grim. They are sad. So that's been the case ever since all that started. Now, this is the witchcraft of psychology. "This only would I learn of you. You received the Spirit. You received the Spirit. Now, are you going to be perfected by walking away from the Spirit? Are you going to do it in the flesh? Or did you receive it by faith? Hearing with faith? Or did you receive it by keeping the law?" Well, everybody knows. Well, we didn't keep the law because God forgave us. He died on the cross. So the witchcraft is, you began in the Spirit, why are you now ending in the flesh? Psychology is the victim right there. Psychology says, no. You deserve a break because you're a minority. You deserve a break because you're poor. You deserve a break because you're a woman. You deserve a, you know. And so they make the government now serve psychological problems. And so everybody, you have a second chance, third chance, as though they're God. Yeah. Only God can forgive sins. But they are forgiving. So you can have a criminal and, you know, you can come here illegally. It doesn't make any difference. Sanctuary cities, all this kind of stuff. It's all the state pretending like it's a church. So that's why Trump messed everything up. Because he's against the Republicans and the Democrats. Because he was a realist. And he just said, you know, that's not right. You need to learn the art of the deal. And so that's the way he just blunt, just figure out what it is you want. And then he'll negotiate and get to where you need to go. That's the way to do it. Find out what it is that you want. As a businessman, they always ask you the question, what's in it for you? They want to know. What is your motive for doing this? And, you know, what is it you want? You know, forget the deal. Forget how great the deal is. Forget the pro forma. Forget what your credentials are. What do you want? That's all they want to know. This is what it's going to cost. And so on. I want you to do thus and so and thus and so. And no matter who you are, that's just reality. All of that is built on this witchcraft. Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, verse 3, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Can you be perfect? Is anyone here perfect? No. And yet everybody in the world, everybody without exception, wants to improve themselves, wants to, get perfect. Now, they're not perfect, and they say, I'm not perfect. But, on the other hand, they all want to do it without God. Without God, we don't need God to do that. But only God can perfect your nature. You should be another person when you're a Christian, not yourself. You can't be Jim anymore. And this is how I learned Christianity, the hard way. You want to be Jim, as Jim the Great, Jim the Awesome, or whatever, you're not going to make it. How many know only a few people make it to greatness? Only a few are, you know, billionaires and trillionaires, but you know, the most people are thousandaires or whatever. And they you try to rank yourself among the deals and see where you can make it. And did you know there's as much money in Fort Worth as there is in Dallas? You may not be aware of that. It's just that a fewer people in Fort Worth control it all. Several dozen people control a lot. But in Fort, you know, here it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are billionaires or that are well off, wealthy, doing what they want. But same amount of money. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Flesh perfects nobody. You cannot be perfect by the flesh. That flesh is your sin. You have sin in your will. You have sin in your mind. You have sin or flesh in your emotions. Are you aware of that? So I'm trying to get across this idea today that in the Bible, psychology is witchcraft. And the only thing that prevents you from maturity is that you still have emotional, psychological problems. You still have mental, confused problems. You still have volitional, that is, your will. You desire things you ought not desire. And that can mess people up. How many know that? That some people are willful, stubborn, stiff-necked. Some people are mental. Some people are emotional, you know, just like the truck driver, you know. Hey, get out of here, you know, and so on and so forth. That guy is emotional. And he, you know, he comes home and whips the child, you know, whatever, cause, or the dog, kick the dog, whatever, because he's just, you know, he's that way. He's run by his emotions. But a lot of women are run by their emotions. I'm not saying all, but some are tough. Some are strong. Some are not like that. But you can't perfect yourself. It's impossible. Only God can perfect a human being so that you become someone you're not. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? So he's talking to the fools, and they are vanity. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. He therefore, verse 5, ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So, which is your secret? Are you doing it by doing the deeds of the law, following the rules, doing whatever you're told to do? Did you know the biggest sin in the world today is the yoke of bondage? You probably didn't hear me. Did you know that the biggest sin in the world today and the 1260 days when God cleanses Israel will be to eliminate forever in Israel her bondage, the yoke of bondage? Yoke always means marriage. Yoke means to be two things brought together into one. So you have the yoke of Jesus. Come unto me, all the labor and heavy laden, I'll give you. And he's talking about taking his yoke upon you and learning of him that he's gentle, lowly of heart. You want to be yoked to him. So the yoke has two parts. Otherwise, it's not a yoke. But it's two parts, the lead ox and then the one that's weaker. And that right just gets all the blessing, the other guy gets all the burden. That's the husband, that's the wife. Jesus is the husband, the bridegroom, you're the wife of the bride. You get all the blessing, he gets all the burden. And he wants to. Jesus actually wants to do everything for you. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the good news of the kingdom. God doesn't want you to please him. He's already pleased with you because he wrote his name on you when you were conceived in the womb. Before birth. Before you ever came to birth. And you know, this is interesting about Mary, because 4 or 5 days ago, she was born. The baby recognized her voice, and the nurse said to Mary, the minute you said the words you said, the baby immediately looked at you. Now that's powerful, because the baby for 9 months has heard her voice. And he recognized right away, that's my mom. Did you know my sheep hear my voice?
Yeah.
My sheep hear my voice. And I'm listening. I don't want to miss one word that Jesus says. That's why I read it in Hebrew and in Greek. And I read church history in Latin. Why? All the time. Why? Every day. 5 hours a day. Why? Because that's how you grow. You grow by hearing the voice with authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. So he's the one that's going to judge you at the end of time. The authority on in heaven and on earth, he's going to judge everybody with equity. That means equal to the fact that God originally created to be his stewards, his trustees, his servants, his wife, whatever. So if God wants to give you all the blessing, if God wants you to get all the blessing, all of it, you don't have to charge anything if you're a good steward, because you're stewarding someone else's sheep, someone else's property. You're stewarding that, and you can take 1% or 5% or whatever you want to take. But the truth is, you could do it for free. Let's say you were the grandfather. Then I'd do it for free. Not only that, I'd add to it. And so I want my grandchildren, 11 of them now, I'd want my grandchildren to inherit. And I could start today. Matter of fact, I will. I'm going to bless my grandchildren, because the parents don't need it. But the children, the grandchildren, they'd be delighted to get something of value. That's true value. That can't change. Still talking about psychology. He therefore that ministereth to the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The answer? By the hearing of faith. Not psychology. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did you know that Abraham heard, remember, he was talking about, he was asking the question, hey God, you're going to bless me with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, which is really good, but I don't even have a son. I don't have a son. And he said, Eliezer, my servant from Damascus, he's going to inherit everything because he's my steward. He does whatever I say and swears an oath and does it. He's going to be the one that inherits. But then already Ishmael has been born. He'll be quite a few years older than Abraham's son. And Abraham is told by the God, oh yeah, that'll be in the spring. In the spring? So he must be in the summer before, when God is speaking to him. You'll have a baby in the spring. And because you guys laughed, I call him, he shall left. So that's his name. He shall laugh. In other words, every time you look at your son, remember this, you laughed because you didn't think I could do the impossible. I can do what's not possible on earth. In fact, everything I do is not possible. Everything that I do is something you can't do. And everything you do is something you can't. You can do it, but it goes nowhere. Any man-made work is completely sin. Idols. Worthless. Nothing. Whatever you produce is sinful. Are you aware of that? Everything you do, and you think, wow, I did something. I think God will be pleased with this. He's not pleased. Unless he did it. He wants all the credit. He wants all the glory. He wants all of the praise. What are they going to do with it? He'll just give it to you for free. He doesn't want you to earn anything. He'll just give it to you for free. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Did you know that? Did you believe that? Did you believe that? So, Steve, your life is, you know, that God loves you so much, like everybody else, not a respecter of persons, same yesterday, today, and forever. He blesses you so you can bless others. That's it. That's powerful. Sam, you've been blessed.
Amen.
You've been blessed. So bless others. Dan, you've been blessed.
Amen. Praise God.
Just the truth itself.
Truth.
Jesus.
Path.
Yeah. You've been blessed, Andrew. I'm only picking on men. Because women get all the blessings. You've been blessed where you are in the military. It's a blessing. So you will make it. But you'll make it because you're determined. I'm going to finish this thing. I won't sin. I'm not going to vary. I'm going to stay right where I am. And I'll be blessed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Powerful. You've been blessed. Yes. Jack, you've been blessed. Yes. I think I've reached all the men. But every man is blessed to be the servant of their wife.
Amen.
The way you do it is you always serve the wife. Not because they're victims, but because they're beloved. Isn't that amazing? So I'm blessed to be able to be Peggy's servant. I used to not be like that, but I am now because Jesus took all the witchcraft, all the frogs out of my mouth. Because when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, da'at, D-A-A-T-H, da'at, that knowledge of good and evil, because you'll never know what is good and what is evil. God defines it. So hearing with faith, good. Doing deeds of the law, evil. Wow, that indicts not only the Catholics, the Jewish people, but Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and witchcraft people and whoever you want to name. Because they're all under the law. Because of man thinking, I have to do something to please God. You can't. There's nothing you can do. He's already pleased with you. When he created you, Karen, when he created you, he wrote on you, this one is mine. Karen is mine. Dan, this one's mine. And he did that on everybody here. Did you know that God with this finger, right hand, always the right hand, never the left hand. This is for everybody else. This is just for believers. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, anyone who believes in Jesus, you're on the right hand. Others are on the left hand. Mercy, no mercy. You're under the law. People that are under the law will never make it in God's sight because you're doing something that's already been done. Jesus Christ did your work under the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. All. Well, that's pretty hard for people to do. You ever tried that? To be perfect all on your own? It's real hard. Because I always find most Christians, like 100%, most Christians, 100%, are not perfect. I don't know if you've learned that about Christians. They're not perfect. Even good friends, really good friends, they can betray you. They can let you down. They can yell at you and they can cheat you and so on and so forth. How many know that Christians can do that? They're awesome. Even Pastor Jim. So don't be naive about people. Even though I love Jesus with all my heart and soul and strength by faith, and love my neighbor as myself by faith, still I can slip up every once in a while. I look in the mirror and forget what I look like, and I do my old yelling and whatever and so on and so forth. How many know that people don't change? But God is the one that changeth not. Because he will always love everybody at all times. Even if you go to hell, you do it on your own. Your own decisions. God never sent anyone to hell. It's impossible for God to do that. Why? Because he said so. 18th chapter of Ezekiel. It says clearly, I didn't create you to destroy you. I created you to bless you. And I want everyone saved. Well, why doesn't he force his way? He can. He won't. He won't. You know, in heaven, there's no laws. So if there's no laws in heaven, so on earth. On earth, as it is in heaven. So, now in our family, I don't have any laws for Peggy. She can do anything she wants. And I'll not only thank her, I'll bless her. Because she's my wife. And so I don't want her to do anything to please me. I don't want her to do anything. My God shall supply all my needs according to my his riches in glory. Amen?
Amen.
So if I need to have more money, he'll provide it. If I need to have more wisdom, he'll provide it. If I need to have more love, he'll provide it. He provides everything. He is my love, my joy, my peace, my patience, my kindness, my goodness, my faith, my meekness, and my self-government, my self-control, restraining myself at all times because of him. I didn't do that. I just do that by faith, but I didn't do it. Jesus did it, and he'll give me all the blessings. And he loves it if we humble ourselves. No pride. You can't have any pride in something you do. Whatever you do is not you. That's actually Jesus. Whatever you do that's pleasing to God, that was Jesus.
Amen.
So Jesus wants to live in you. When he resurrected from the dead, he didn't just go to heaven. He also went straight into your heart, gave you a new heart. Now you have a new heart, but not a new body and not a new soul until you die daily to psychology. Your will is not God. Your mind is not God. Your emotions are not God. Do not listen to those humanist qualities. Everything in this world today is humanism. Every country is humanist, including our own. Trump is doing something bad because he went ahead against everybody. Everybody. He has the whole world stirred up. Because he's unorthodox. He's not doing it right. But even so, I don't say he's perfect. He's far from perfect. You don't need a perfect person. Our Constitution wasn't set up for perfect people. It was set up for sinners who repent. But one of the weaknesses of America is that it doesn't know how to produce moral or virtuous people. Or wise. That was the weakness of America's Constitution. It has no way of educating people so that because they got rid of civics. I learned civics when I was in sixth grade. I learned civics because they taught us how the government worked and all this kind of stuff. But they've ended that long ago, certainly by the 60s. They ended all of that, so you no longer know how our government works. You're dumbed down deliberately because they didn't want you to learn everything. You'd have to be a lawyer or you'd have to be someone clever to learn those things. And you learn it so that you know how to say no to anyone you want to say no to and yes to anyone you want to say yes to. They always write ambiguously. And so, but in the Bill of Rights, those things haven't changed. Still the same. Come from nature. Everything in the natural law is all men, Article 1-6, Texas Constitution. All men have a natural and indefeasible, you cannot defeat it, right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own conscience. Private, not public. So everybody has a conscience. It tells me what not to do and what to do. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Doesn't tell you how many gods there are. Doesn't tell you anything about those things. It just tells you in the inside, this is the voice of God speaking to you, don't do that. Do that. There it is. Now your conscience is pure as a Christian. As a Christian, because you don't do what God said not to do, which is be psychological. You do what God said not to do, which is don't be psychological, don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you eaten of the tree of, did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? No, the woman did it. And what'd she say? The snake did it? The snake did it to me. He deceived me. What's wrong? I was a victim. I'm innocent. So Adam was innocent and Eve was innocent. And the serpent got all the blame because he was a psychologist. Did you know Satan is the first and greatest psychologist? Very clever guy. Clever guy. He knows how to do it. And the woman looked at the tree and desired it. She desired to say, you know, look at this apple tree right here, or whatever it's called. This tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I need to eat this thing. Okay, at least I can touch it. And so it just touched it. And she didn't die. The day, so she has to wait 24 hours on this one. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. I got 24 hours. But she also gave it to her husband and he ate it. Dumb. And God said that to him. Why did you listen to your wife? I'm God, not her. You should have come to me and asked me. I spoke to you first, you know. You're supposed to be the head, the servant, the trustee, the steward. How many know that God will never change his mind? I mean, once he says something, that's it, eternally. He cannot change it. Everything in the Bible is going to be lived later. You'll see it. But right now, it's just by faith. It's just by faith. So you can say right now, I believe in Jesus, and you don't even know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter whether it's really in your heart or really in your soul. It can't distinguish. You can't distinguish it because my grandmother was, you know, Baptist, so I'm Baptist. They don't say Baptist. They say Baptist. Down here in the South. I've learned that right away. I love that. Business. I like that. It's business. So I need to, you know, learn all that language down here in Texas. Awesome. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's called imputation. Imputation. It's accounted to him. That means the judge, God is the judge of the whole earth, the judge accounts that to him as righteous. And so, if he accounts it, that is, imputes it, that means not actual. Imputes means not actual. He actually knows you're still a sinner. Did you know God forgave you long before he removed the sin? Did you know God is not waiting for you to remove the sin? He wants to remove it and get all the glory. Did you know God doesn't want you to remove any sin? Did you know that the word repent means comfort yourself, where the verb reflects back on the noun? You comfort yourself, he says to Isaiah. Tell Israel to be comfortable and comfort themselves. Wow, that's amazing that you today can do the same thing Israel did to say, I'm a new creation. Israel never became a new creation. But the Messianic Jew today is already saying, I think this Jesus guy who already came, he is the Messiah. And they have all kinds of teachings that are different than anybody else. Doesn't matter. But they are no longer Orthodox. They're no longer Orthodox. Now they just have divvied up. And some are this and some are that and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. Even if they call themselves Messianic, that might be in their soul rather than in their heart. Only God knows. Only God knows the secrets of your heart and of your soul. Nobody else sees. All they see is your behavior. Nobody can see anything but your behavior. So this world is humanist, following your will, your mind, your emotion. Your will, your mind, your emotion, in that order. Now, today I'm teaching you something about education. That God is now educating you teaching you, instructing you, giving you instruction how to live a holy life here by not even being holy. Did you know you can live a holy life here without being holy? That is, you're holy by imputation, not because you're actually holy. Did you understand that? So all Christians still sin. Simul justus et peccator. Man is at the same time righteous, holy, and also still sins. Peccator. So since that's true, that is powerful for us to realize, don't ever rely on another Christian or on another person. Buyer beware. I mean, just don't ever rely on someone saying, I love you, and knowing that has to be done by faith.
Oh, yeah.
Has to be done by faith. So you have to kind of close your eyes and say, I love you. Because if you look, you won't. And sooner or later, you'll see things. And then, and not only that, the Bible says not only will people disappoint you in this world, hurt you, not only that, they don't care. That they don't care. Sometimes they say, oh, I'm so sorry. That doesn't mean anything. Because you don't know whether that's from the heart or the soul. You don't know whether they're doing it because they don't want to be bothered, or you don't know why.
Yeah.
Only God knows your heart. Perfect. And he knows ahead of time by foreknowledge, ahead of time, not by predestination, by foreknowledge. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. So he has that da'at, knowing good and evil. Good is God, evil is everybody else. That's clear. If you're a mortal man, if you are a natural person, you're okay. But you're just a humanist until he changes your personality and makes you not what you used to be. Makes you now his. A new man in Christ. Kaine katesis. A new man in Christ. Greek. That kaine katesis means new of a qualitatively different kind than every natural man on earth. So you're a Christian, you used to be Jewish, now you're a Christian. You used to be pagan, heathen, now you're a Christian. You used to be a lukewarm Christian, now you're a true Christian. That is all up to God. Only God can do that. How many know God needs to do what he needs to do? In the past, he died on the cross. Let's say this is death on the cross. So this is his death. That's past. But this is present. This one is present. Right now, he's dividing you from you. He's dividing you from you. The old you is sinful you. Psychological you. A psychological self. Following your emotions, your mind, your will. When he says, not my will, but thine be done. Well, that's how Jesus spoke. You see, Jesus is the new man. He is your new man. He is not just Jesus. He is your life. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This, this, this. Now, if you're you today, I want you as pastor, I'm praying for you personally, praying for you to be a new person in Christ. A new man in Christ. Why? Not because you are. You're not. This was imputed to you. He loved sinners. Hates sin, but loves sinners. Hates sin, but loves sinners. Why? Because you won't be happy if you're sinning. Did you know people that are not sinning are happy? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I believe his word right here. This person can be a sinner stilling. They still are a sinner, but they also can be a believer. Anyone can do this. Anyone. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. I don't have two agendas. I only have one. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know this Jesus as Savior, this Jesus as Lord, this Jesus as Bridegroom. You're going to marry Jesus someday. The new you. And as soon as he comes back, this will all be finished. It's not finished now. This is a process. This is salvation. This is redemption. This is him changing you from being a sinner to being a saint. But it's gradual. It's gradual. You have to first believe long before your sins are removed. Then he's saying, I want the old you to become a new you. I live in you, so I am you. Now, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, if you're his temple and he's your temple, if that's true, then that's why he rose from the dead and didn't go to heaven. He went to heaven, but he's a spirit, so he also can live in your heart. To live your life for you. And he does that every day.
Amen.
Every day, everyone in this group, otherwise you wouldn't be here, everyone in this group knows, hey, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Now, that Jesus is the one that's doing all this. He does all of it because you can't do any of it. You can't die on the cross for yourself. You can take up your cross, but your cross is death. You live to die, to resurrect. And these are the only ones that'll be part of the first resurrection. He's only coming back for the first resurrection. Did you know the first resurrection is the first? The first. What is that? Why does he want you to be part of the first resurrection? Happy are those that are part of the first resurrection. Why is that happiness? You can be happy here because he loves you as you are. You can be happy here because he's changing you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. But you can be happy here as a finished product so that men, when they see your good works, will give glory to your Father which art in heaven. Your Father which art in heaven. Love you. God is now owning this person here as a sinner. He loves you and leaves you in the sin. He leaves you in the sin. That's good love, to be loved as a sinner. How many know you are a sinner still today? Even if you're here being a disciple, here a believer, here now a disciple. Even here, he still loves you, and he hadn't changed his love because he cannot change his love because that's his person. He's a loving father. He's good. He's gracious. He's merciful. And his mercies are new every morning. So, and he's wanting to make you perfect so that men see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Why? Because that's you blessing others. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or even you love your neighbor as yourself. This is the more abundant, that you're not only loving God with all your heart and soul and strength, you're also now loving your neighbor just the same way. Just as you wish to be loved, you're also loving others. That's powerful of God. And that's how he destroys this old self. You're another person now. You're a new man in Christ. Christ is in you. You in Christ, that's a new name. You have a new nature, new name, new creation right there. This is what you want to do in life, is to do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What can you do in him? All things. You can do all things through Christ, who he's your joy, and he's your peace, and he's your love, and he's your grace. Everything that you want, it's from God. He wants a relationship, not religion. He doesn't want you just to be born again. He wants you to also to go through the holy place. That's outer court Christian. This is holy place. This is holy of holies. He wants you to actually have a walk. You're led of the Spirit because you're filled with the Spirit, because you're born of the Spirit. So you're born to die, to resurrect. So this kind of teaching, don't think it's new to me. It's in the Bible. It's always been there. And in any age, you can name any age, and I can show you there are Christians during that time just as mature as I am. And I am. Why am I? Because God first loved me. We love because he first loved us. So the reason that the neighbor can be blessed everywhere in the world, everywhere, communist countries, Buddhist countries, Hindu countries, Muslim countries, it doesn't matter. The harvest is ripe, and the laborers, they are few. So pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Lord, send out laborers. And start with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, that Father, that the heavenly Father, our Father, which art in heaven, now you're born of him. Now you are now a disciple of him. Disciples submit to the Lord. These don't. These just believe the promise that he has made. These now are submitting to him, and you're trusting him as Lord. You're not only believing his words, believing, but now you're also submitting to him as Lord. And lords make commands, but they do them for you. And then they do them through you. So now he's changing you for, in, through, by doing everything for you, getting rid of all psychology. I don't have any psychology in me. And I told you my story today only to point out that I was raised in a totally pagan, heathen way. And that makes me absolutely correct in God's sight. Sinful. And so he loved me as a sinner. And I knew I was a sinner. And I wanted to be a sinner. And I had no guilt about being a sinner. I enjoyed being a sinner. I enjoyed being proud and arrogant and so on and so forth. I had no problem. Because I knew it wasn't real at all. I always knew it. I know you're a phony, you're a fake, you're a liar. I knew that. I mean, if anyone would ever, are you telling the truth? I'd lie. Yeah. Because it got me ahead. I was just a pagan. But Jesus loved me because he wrote his name on me when I was born. That's why my mother attempted in 4 different times to abort me. My mother, because grandmother said to her, psychologically, whatever my mom, Betty, you know, her name was Frances Elizabeth, actually. Betty, you need to get rid of this child. This child will ruin your life. And sure enough, I ruined her life. And I won't even tell you all the things I did. But I ruined her life. Because she graduated from high school. She went to 17 high schools. 17 high schools.
What?
17. Top of the class. So she could have been somebody. She had a career ahead of her. And yet because she slept around, she got me. Oh boy, the grandmother said, you want to have a life, get rid of him. Get rid of that one. So somehow I came forth. I have no idea. Whatever she poured in and whatever, you know, things she used to get rid of me, they didn't work. And I asked her to define, just please tell me how I ducked and how I closed my mouth and, you know, whatever you tried on me. It didn't work. You were a very bad aborter. Because here I am. And she was shocked because she was crying. Because she never had shared that with anybody. Because she made a vow. If you do wrong, try to make up for it. And here's the way she did it. I'll never be happy for the rest of my life. I'll be miserable for the rest of my life. And her life was ruined from that moment on. Because, why? Because she made a vow. You're not supposed to make vows. So I said, Mom, I forgive you. Here I am. But it's only because you were a bad aborter. And she didn't think that was funny. But she realized, wow, I want what you have. You do? Wow. So I shared the gospel with her. Said, I want that right now.
Hallelujah.
I didn't even tell you anything. How can you want it? Because I know there's something. I want what you have. I want to have that kind of faith because I'm miserable. I'm on 6 major disease medicines and so on and so forth. Agoraphobic being one of them. She could not go out in public and get along. And yet, you know, she could function, but she was, you know, vomiting and, you know, so on and so forth. She just couldn't do it. She can't talk to people. She could just be objective, outward. Yes, that thus and so and thus and so. But she became a Christian more miraculous than my new birth. Because she had nothing going for her. She was completely, you know, impotent. Can't do anything. Nevertheless, she's a Christian. And I know she went to heaven. And
praise God.
But it doesn't matter because she has a great testimony. One thing I liked about her, she was spontaneous after she became a new person. She was spontaneous. It just in the Fort Worth church. She didn't even know about the Dallas church, but she knew about the Fort Worth church. She just starts singing, "His eye is on the sparrow," and, you know, she's just singing. She had learned by the time I was born 1,700 Irish songs by memory, and so she knew all of them, and she used to sing them to me, and that may well have, you know, blessed me later, because I liked singing. I loved singing. And I thought, you know, I can be a singer. And then I loved art. And I loved that too. And so I had so many things to go on. But what are you going to do? Then I learned knowledge is power. So I tried to get all the knowledge I could get. And after 3 degrees, earned degrees, I realized, stop. You already have the languages. You already have, you know, the head knowledge. You just don't have any heart. Your heart is full of darkness. So I followed the advice of this one, this witchcraft thing. Know ye therefore, verse 7, that they which are of faith, everyone here is of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Ha! You're a child of Abraham. Did you know that? You're a child of Abraham. You're not just a child of God. You're a child of Abraham. He's the one that got the promises and all the blessings. And he blessed all the families of the earth. You cannot say that won't happen. It will happen, and it is happening. That's why you will not be destroyed. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her. You're the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ, married to this bridegroom. 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. Ha! Isn't that interesting? Abraham got the gospel, not the law. This was 430 years before a law. Wasn't any law. This is before Moses. Long before Moses. And the law cannot overthrow the truth of that gospel. There's no way. It cannot annul. It cannot make void the law. I mean the gospel. So the gospel always trumps the law. Gospel always trumps the law. That's what God wants. Let me do it. I'm perfect. It's easy for me. My commandments are not burdensome, the Bible says. So whenever Jesus says for me to do something, I can do it.
Amen.
I don't know how. I don't even understand it. I don't even want to understand it. I just do it.
Right.
And immediately it's multiplied.
Right.
Immediately when I obey God, and I wasn't planning on it, it works. And I didn't even want it to work. I wasn't even interested in that. I liked sinning. But now I didn't like it all of a sudden. All of a sudden, one day, I didn't want it anymore. I wanted to be a Christian forever and ever. Just like, just go from one way to another way. You also can be born again that quickly.
Yes.
No laws, no rules, nothing. You're free. Help. And the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Forever and ever. Everybody here, male or female, is exactly the same in God's sight. You won't even be married in heaven. Because you're married to Jesus.
Amen.
Can't have two. He's not a bigamist. You can only be married to Jesus. His yoke is upon you, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. In other words, you don't have to do anything. I do it all. Just come on, hook up with me, and I'll walk us through everything. I'll go through the fire with you. I'll go through anything. I'll go through everything with you. You'll make it. You cannot fail.
Amen.
This is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Amen.
I am Jesus's, and Jesus is mine. We have a relationship.
Yes.
and it's eternal. It's eternal. It can never stop. You have it today. Even if you're in this chair, you still have it. If you're in this chair, you still have it. If you're in this chair, you still have it. Amen. Why? Because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God and His promise. Yes. Will He be faithful to His promise? Not do I believe in Him. Not am I His disciple. Not do I do good works. None of those. Always go back to the foundation right here. Do you believe that Jesus cannot lie? Do you believe that Jesus will never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you? I believe that. That's a miracle. I don't even know how I got to that. I didn't. He did it. I didn't know. I was a pastor and I knew I was an unbeliever. And I got up one day in the Fort Worth church and I told them that. By the way, I've fooled every one of you. I've deceived every one of you. I'm not a Christian. Never have been. Don't plan to ever be. But that day, He got a hold of me to let them off the hook and say, you can go anywhere you want to, and I don't really care, because I'll probably do something else. But He had called me before, and I never left it. And I never will. Because it's now the happiest life on all earth.
Amen.
And you're happiest me. And you're happiest me. And you're happiest me. And you're happiest me. It's contagious. People love happy people. They actually hate you, but they love you also. It's a love-hate. You know, because they hate that you're peaceful and they're not. They hate that you have wisdom and they don't. And so on and so forth. But they can get it. Get rid of the psychology. Those frogs in your mouth are your will with flesh in it, your mind with flesh in it, and your emotions with flesh in it. Those things won't go to heaven. They're idols. They're nothing. They don't exist. You have everything. Everything. Everything you not. You need everything. God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. He can give you so much more. Are you ready for it? Because you can't just be one of these. You can't be just one of these. You have to be one of these.
Yes.
Mature in Christ. I'm coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Wow. That's what He's coming back for. No blemishes, no stains, no anything. You will not have that. Say, I agree with that. Yeah, you won't have any stains. Wow, that's amazing. No blemishes, nothing. You're just like the lamb who becomes a lion. And the lamb loves you with all his heart, soul, and strength. He did that for you. Now he's going to do it in you. Then he's going to do it through you. And then he's going to marry you. And then you're going to have a crown, which is the prize. And then you're going to have eternal life forever and ever, never, 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 never. World without end. Amen. I hope you're blessed by this message. That psychology is the thing that's holding Christians back. Everything today is psychological in our world. Everything. Even the deal that Trump is making, they're psychological. He just found out what you want and, you know, so on. So, but he said, I credit all the Christians for voting for me. He knows the Christians are the only ones that are free to vote for him, even though he's going to go against Republican and Democrat and Libertarian and all those other weird things. It doesn't matter. This is God's world. Did you know this is God's world? It isn't today. It's said it will be later. But today, because of the tribulation, hasn't yet happened. After the tribulation, then all the kingdoms of the earth will be handed over to God. That's after, not now. Then they'll all be handed over. Why? Because Jesus is here and he's already put the false prophet and the Antichrist, which are two of the demons, psychological demons. They're also, and the devil himself. The devil himself is the one controlling your will. Not my will, which is actually the devil. But thine be done. Not my mind. Taking every thought captive to the Word of God. So the Word of God replaces psychology. The only reason psychology could ever do anything in Texas was the Europeans had to get their philosophies over to us. And they did it. They did it. I can tell you the day and the hour when they did it. We became Laodicean back in the 1836 and so on and so forth. And I can tell you how God became more and more eliminated during the 19th century than during the 20th century. The whole century belonged to the devil. And I can tell you that psychology didn't beat, it wasn't anything until the last part of the century, the 19th century, when Freud and when Darwin and when all of these people started to become influential in America. We never taught that stuff before. We never taught any psychology. Nobody ever invented it until I went to college. That's the first time I realized, what is psychology? What is sociology? What are those things? I don't believe in those things. And the dean, he said, I agree with you. Shut the door. I shut the door, and he began to say, you need to be in my philosophy class, which was another devilish thing.
Yeah.
And I realized right away, how come the realists don't get along with the, you know, language, you know, blah, blah, blah. How come everybody has a different philosophy? And then I read in the Bible, philosophy is a vain deceit. So he got me free from one frog to another frog. Now the devil has the first frog out of his mouth that controls your will. The second frog comes out of the beast, the Antichrist. He gives the mind. That's what he's into. Then the other frog comes out of the false prophet, and he gives, that frog gives you emotions. Now, emotions cover everything today, even the law, even business. It covers everything. Most of your big corporations are studying this stuff all day long. You don't know it. Not the workers, not the people. Just, this is what it is. So hope you're blessed today.
Thank you.
Hope you're blessed today. Psychology, don't. Yes. Jesus, do. That word trumps everything.
Amen.
The last trump.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And to your point in the beginning, and when the devil deceived Eve.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that was interesting is the way he did it.
Yes.
He's a really good marketer, is what he did.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
If you think about marketing, marketing creates a lack of something. They're saying you don't have something.
Correct.
So what he said to Eve is, says, you'll be like God. What he was really saying is that you're not like God right now.
Right.
And she was already made and in the image of.
Right.
And so he created a false.
Right.
Need, just like right now.
Totally.
Everybody, if you look at the way of the psychologist and how this works, if they say, are you sure you're saved?
Right. Yeah.
You know, are you sure you have everlasting life?
Right.
And so they create a need where there is not one.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Totally correct. What you just said is totally correct.
Yes,
amen. That's all there is in this world. The devil has no other hook on you except psychology. But you kill yourself, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. Done. It's over.
Yeah.
The devil's lost. That's why he can't have us. So none of you have two agendas. You just have one, the Bible. I live by every word that proceeds constantly out of the mouth of God. Present, active, indicative. Present, active, indicative. All right. Hope you're all blessed.
Thank you, Pastor.
I don't think I'll preach this anywhere else. So you may be the only ones that hear it.
We love hearing it.
Because it's too much for the world today, because they're totally into this.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear it. So I'll probably write a book on it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I would love a book on that. Yeah.
I just want to say this was such a blessing. So to hear it articulated like this.
Amen.
Really brings clarity.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Good. All right. In the night, in which he was betrayed, which he was betrayed by all the psychologists, which he was betrayed. And if you think the Jews weren't psychologists, they were too. Anyone who's under a law is under the same law. Humanists. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Now, this is the word of God. He took bread. Why? Because this is Jesus' body. This doesn't make any sense. It psychologically doesn't make any sense. But it's truth. It'll set you free. He took bread and said, take, eat. This is, not shall be, is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember my death. Let us now partake of the bread. We thank you, Lord God, that this bread is for your body. That's eaten of the right tree. Take, eat. We're nourishing ourselves on the Word of God. We're meditating night and day on the Word of God.
Yes.
And we are destroying our will apart from yours, our emotions apart from yours, and our mind apart from yours. We are destroying their strongholds. They're no longer idols in our lives. We are getting rid of them today.
That's right.
I will now reject all of those as being a worshiping idol,
yes,
God, in my life. I will now follow your word and that alone, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant, the new testament, in my blood. Do this as often as you come together in my remembrance. Now let us partake then of the blood. Lord God, we thank you for this meal, this nourishing, the tree of life.
Yeah.
This is the fruit of the tree of life, your word. And we believe your word. We are now submitting to you as word and trust you. And we're now letting you live your life through us. We are doing your will.
Yes.
And someday we'll see it. Today we believe it. But someday we'll see it. And men will glorify the Father in heaven because of it. Help us today to lay down our lives for you, spirit, soul, body. And give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't share this with anybody. I'm just telling you, no one will believe you. I'm just telling you, unless you want to be punished. It's wonderful.